So I want to read from John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. I'm going to share the dream that I had. Some of you already heard it, but I only shared it for about three minutes a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to expound on that. Let's look at the words of Jesus, John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8, if you could put it up there. Jesus said, I am the vine. Now I want you to listen to this. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That doesn't make sense in the natural. That it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. I want you to see how many times Jesus says the word abide. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And everyone said, now the reason I come on this is something that the Lord put in my spirit this week. It wasn't necessarily in the series of the book that we're doing, because I really feel that one of the main purposes of freedom and one of the main purposes of awakening is a couple of things. I'm going to share this message in two parts this morning. One of the main reasons for an awakening, and one of the reasons why he casts things out of us and we go through the dying process and the killing process of our flesh, the removing of the idols and all these things, is number one, so that we could love Jesus with a vibrant heart without any hindrance. One of the greatest things that we have when we get delivered is our undefiled, unpolluted worship to the Lord. In other words, mostly every time, and I'm going to say this lovingly, your worship experience is, in a way, directly connected to your freedom experience. Pastor Carlos said it last week. He said something bold last week. Some of you guys didn't see it. But he said, if you cannot worship in spirit and truth, unhindered, there's a bondage some sort of way in your life. There's a blockage. So you see it all the time in Scripture. When the leper, for instance, was healed, and one of them came back. The Bible says as he got healed, he came back and he glorified God. Whenever you see a healing or deliverance, there is a response from people to worship. Do you see this? So this is a linkage here, that the level of your freedom in a way dictates a stage of the ability to worship in spirit and truth. When he healed the paralytic person came down, and the Bible says the first thing that the paralytic person did after he got healed is come and worship and glorify God. If you also see the blind person, I could go on and on, but just give you an example. If you see a blind person, you see in one of the Gospels that Jesus healed a blind man, and immediately when his eyes were opened, his response was he glorified and worshiped the Lord. I say this because the goal of the Lord to set us free is, number one, so we can love the Lord without any hindrance. Many of us, it's hard for us to worship the Lord because deep in our hearts we have some addictions and some bondage that we don't tell anybody about. So it's hard for us to get into a place of unabandoned worship without any hindrance. So the reason why we need to remove the idols and we need to surrender and all these messages that we're giving on personal awakening is, one, so that we can have an unhindered love worship experience with our Lord. Number two, the second reason I believe is because he wants us, the next reason he frees us is because he wants us, now you got to hear this, to bear fruit. Bear fruit of Christian character and even grow in our assignment. He does not want us to stay in the same place of maturity or bondage that we got when we first got saved. He actually expects, there's actually two realities, there's more, but there's two main realities in the kingdom of God. It's our response to his principles and his expectations once we say yes. Does that make sense? He actually has an expectation. Oh, Pastor George, you know, God is a loving God. He doesn't expect anything from us. Yes, he does. He expects fruit from me and you. The Bible says in verse 8 in John chapter 15, he says, and by this you, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. He didn't say that I bear much fruit, like the Lord said. He goes, you are going to glorify me by bearing fruit. Now, here's the trick of it all. We're not supposed to grow fruit or bear fruit by our own intuition or our own. We've made this scripture all about fruit bearing, but really it's about abiding. And the abiding produces the fruit. There's two sides of this story on how to produce fruit. There's the abiding and then there's the pruning. A year ago, I'm going to say this for those who weren't here. Sorry. And I had a dream that I shared, but I think it's important to share this because of what God is expecting now. And in this dream I had, some of you heard it before, I was in this place and Pastor Carlos was next to me. We were in a studio and there was a big TV type camera crane coming up. And I could tell instantly that we were in a studio. We were in a camera studio. We were in a television studio. In other words, the message was about to go worldwide or some sort of influence. And I remember there was certain people that are highly recognizable in the kingdom of God and they were singing, whatever. And so I remember that this big crane camera came and it was coming down right on me, and I had my Bible open, and then the producer goes, 3, 2, 1, you. I remember, clearly, and then when he, it was like this movie, and it went right past me. I thought I was getting ready, went right past me, surpassed me, and went down on the Bible where it was open, and it said John 15, and then I woke up. And I said, I don't understand that. But as I search the Lord, I really believe that this is a message that God wants to increase in this hour to his people. Because he does want to give us this place of abiding. And he wants us to give us a place of bearing fruit. How many know that it's not healthy to be in the same maturity level that you have when you first got saved? The reason why we get delivered is so that we could bear fruit to maturity. Come on, say amen. And you know, I looked up the word abide, and this is interesting. The word abide means to remain, to continue, to stay, to accept without reservation, to accept without opposition or question. Here's what my point is. The word abide actually means you accept the conditions when things are not really going as well as planned. It's easy to abide in God and feel the presence of God when all your kids are serving the Lord. It's so easy to abide in the Lord when your finances are in order and you don't owe anybody anything and your church is growing and your business is growing and your ministry is growing. So easy to abide. But can you abide when you don't understand the season that you're currently going through? Let me tell you, I'm preaching more to me than probably you, because there's times I don't understand the season I'm going through. And the whole time I'm doing this and I'm wrestling with God saying, can you stay without questioning? I believe if you eliminate complaining, you have mastered a certain part of the abiding principle. Because complaining actually sometimes, without you knowing, uproots you from the abiding. And the goal of the enemy is to get you so worked up and complaining about the season that you're in that he uproots you from the abiding. And when he uproots you from the abiding, you cannot be fruitful. It's impossible to be fruitful when you're not abiding. The sap of the tree only goes to the branch that's hooked and connected to the vine. The sap that provides the nutrients does not touch the branch that is dislocated. It only touches the branch that is connected and abiding. And I'm telling you, we have got to get back to abiding when we don't understand the season. Let me tell you, the number one thing the enemy will go after in the season of frustration and transition in your life is the abiding. He will get you to a place where you're so focused on the busyness of trying to make things happen that you forget the abiding. That's why in John chapter 15, 7 times as he says the word abiding, 7. In these 8 verses, he says, if you abide, if you abide, if you abide, if you abide, if you abide. Why is if? Because he knows our tendency is we're not going to abide. Our tendency is, well, you know what? The church is famous for working up fruit outside of abiding. The church is famous for trying, and I'm guilty of it as a pastor. You know why? Because I have a lot of cool ideas. Oh, man, maybe we could do this to make the church grow. Oh, man, if we just do enough of this, the church is going to grow. If we just, and God gives us these ideas. But what happens is we flourish on these God-given ideas, and we forget that abiding is not only for Mary, it's for everybody. As a matter of fact, where do you think you get those ideas? Is you increase the place of fruitfulness in the place of intimacy and abiding. And you cannot get any fruit without abiding. And, you know, the Lord actually makes sense. He says, I never intended for you to bear fruit on your own. That should be like a hallelujah moment. But many of us don't forget that. He says, I never intended for you to bear fruit on your own. Pause. That should be a praise moment right there. But most of us are trying to bear fruit on our own. We have a lot of cool ideas. We have a lot of cool things and a lot of implementations that we do. And if we're not careful, we will be busy doing the works of the Lord and forget about the abiding process. Everyone in here, whether you're a marketplace person, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an intercessor, whether you are a businessman or woman, we are first called to abide. Without that, we cannot bear fruit. Can I hear an amen? And the lack of abiding is a result for a lot of burnout. Hear me now. For a lot of burnout and compromise in the body of Christ. When you see someone constantly compromising, look to their abiding life. You will find out, they may not admit it, but you will find out at the core of this reality is a lack of abiding will produce compromise. Oh, that's good stuff right there. A lack of abiding. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much you can speak in tongues. I don't care how gifted you are. Praise God for all of that. But we use our giftings and our anointings and our talents to the degree that we bypass the abiding process. So you have to be like, you have to learn how to abide without understanding the season that you're in. That's why the abide means to stay without reservation. It reminds me of the story of in the Bible where Peter was fishing all day. This is the attitude of abiding, by the way. This is the principle of abiding. Here's this fisherman. He's a professional fisherman. He's been fishing for all his life, and he knows the hot spots to get the fish. He knows the time. He knows the right place. He knows where the locations are for the boat. And he's been fishing all day in Luke chapter 5, and he has caught no fish. Watch. So here comes Jesus, and he has the audacity to come to a professional fisherman who has a business in fishing and saying, hey, launch out into the deep, and then you'll catch some fish. Now, look at what Peter said. He goes, Jesus, we've been fishing all day. We've been toiling all night. We haven't had anything. Now, most of us, we would continue in that. I would continue in that. But you don't understand the season. I've done everything that you're telling me, Jesus. I've tithed that. I'm still broke. Lord, I've been praying, and I still don't see the answers. I continue to lay hands on people, and they don't get healed. Lord, I understand your word, but, you know, I've been doing this for so long, I don't see a breakthrough. Most of us will continue to try to talk Jesus out of a principle of the Bible. like, Jesus, you don't understand. Like, he didn't know who he was talking about. You don't understand, Jesus. We've been toiling all night. In other words, 2013 language. We've been doing everything that you told us to do. All the principles we're doing. But then he had this moment. I believe he had this revelation of abiding. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will launch to the deep. Now, that moment, to me, transcends the normal person from those who really understand the definition of abiding. He understood something about Jesus. He said, you know what? I got to stick with this dude. I need to stick with the principles of what he's saying. So in the natural, watch this, in the natural, it did not make sense to go deeper into the ocean. You know what? In the natural, God's about to say some things to us that doesn't make sense. But can you still abide? Can you still abide in worship? Oh, I love that. Can you still abide when the money's not there? Can you still abide when there's little fruit in your ministry? Pop in that CD and start worshiping God and abide even when there's nothing going on. That's one of the greatest mysteries of abiding, is to stay without reservation. How about when your marriage is not doing very well? Can you still pop that iPod in and worship the Lord and tears come down your face? Or do you stop? Because that's the goal of the enemy, is to get you so focused on what is happening in your family that he pushes the pause button on your abiding process. And he says, nevertheless, and when he said nevertheless, in other words, he's saying, I'm not questioning you any longer. I'm going to still stay in your word. You know what happened? He saw all this fish coming to the boat because he had a nevertheless moment, which meant he abided without reservation. Can I hear an amen for that? So the privilege of salvation is not only that we get forgiven of our sins. Church, that's glorious. Thank God for that. The privilege of abiding and salvation is not only that our sins are forgiven, our diseases are healed. The privilege of the cross is that we get to abide and be with him. The reward is Jesus. I don't think you got what I just said. The reward, we've made the cross about, thank God he delivered us from sin, and we treat it like a fire insurance plan. Escape from hell plan, you know. And what we realize is the glory and the privilege of the cross is much more than him forgiving of our sins, is we get to be in his presence. Oh, do you remember those days when the presence of God was all over you in your room and you had nobody and you just had your little cassette or your tape or whatever and you had your Bible and you just were crying before the presence of God? David knew the secret. That's why he says, in your presence there's fullness of joy, and in your right hand pleasures evermore. He knew. He said, look, you could take away anything from me. Take my ministry. Just don't take your Holy Spirit and cast not your presence away from me. Listen, you could take Saul wants his kingdom. I don't care. Take it away. Just don't take your presence. This is the privilege of abiding. Could you imagine? Jesus, the uncreated God, is inviting you to fellowship. I want to challenge you. When's the last time you shut everything off? Now, don't be, act spiritual. Actually, think about this. When's the last time you shut everything off, turn every TV off, and put something in so that you could worship God in your home? Even while you're sweeping, even while you're cleaning. And so why is this important? Because we have been famous for trying to work things up without realizing that it's going to happen through the abiding. Do you know that most of your problems will be solved when it comes to execution of your ministry and of your business through the abiding? As a matter of fact, you don't have to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Those of you in here will realize that the times that you've been the most stressed out in your life, or some bad news hit, what was the next reality in your life? You had a temptation to what? Stop abiding. The next temptation right after the worst news of your life or financial news in your life is, I'm just going to give up. That's the goal. But I found a scripture. If you could put this up there. I know I'm going to real quick. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. If you could put it up there, guys. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It talks about this principle of fruit bearing without even saying the principle of fruit bearing, because they were in a constant flow of abiding. The book of Acts, the people in the book of Acts, they knew the secret of bearing fruit. Listen, the church today, we bear fruit and we speak to the fruit. Well, I'm going to bear fruit of righteousness. Righteousness, come forth. Joy, come forth. Holiness, come forth. And it's a lot out of works. But the Bible says that they were so in tune with the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, it says, they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Watch this. I love this. They broke bread from house to house. They were abiding with the Lord. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Are you ready for this? Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added. Not our ideas. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. And I know that sounds so simplistic, but it never was their strategy meetings, even though that is important. They said, because I'm in a lifestyle of abiding, the Lord adds. The Lord will add fruitfulness. So the first half of fruit bearing, because we're talking about fruit bearing, is in the abiding process. And what does it mean? What does it mean to bear fruit? I mean, obviously, some of the young people are saying, I mean, it's not meaning you're going to have pineapples grow out of you and watermelons and bananas. What does fruit actually mean? It means a lot of things. It means character of Christ, Christ-likeness, actually, God forbid, looking like Jesus. Growing in your fruit actually means that you actually start looking and walking and talking like Jesus. Isn't that the goal? Are you ready for this? The writer of Hebrews, he said, by this time you should be teachers. But because you have not been abiding and because you have gone astray so easily, now I need to teach you the elementary things of the scriptures, and you need milk, and milk is for babies, but solid food is for people that are mature. So the writer of Hebrews will say, hey guys, you've been with the Lord for so long. This is bearing fruit now. You've been sitting at conferences. You've been sitting in the prayer room. You've been reading your Bible for 5 years now. I remember I was reading the other day, Philip came and said, Jesus, but how do we know it's you? And how do you know? And Jesus looked at him and goes, you've been with me so long and you still don't know who I am? Oh, I love that. I hear that. I hear the Lord saying that to us today. You've been with me for so long and you still don't know? Philip, show us something, Jesus. Jesus didn't show me anything. You've been with me long enough. You should know. So watch this. There's an expectancy from God. See, we have to realize that we have to be careful that we don't convey a gospel that doesn't require anything from God from our part. If all we're doing is just a one-way relationship and we're getting filled and filled and filled and we're not releasing, we're not maturing, there's an expectancy. And so what happens when you start abiding, fruit means you actually start maturing in your Christ-like character. In other words, you used to get angry at people when they cut you off in that highway, and now you're like, believe me, sometimes you have to do a deep breath. I saw somebody post the other day, a woman that started humming in court. Because she got mad. And the judge said, hey, and she said, And the judge goes, excuse me, ma'am, you're interrupting my court. She goes, no, that's anger management. They told me to sing. So, literally, so the judge was like, yeah, but you're wrong. When you, she was going off, too. So my point is, when you get to the place of abiding and you're bearing fruit, what's going to happen is you don't react to things that you used to react anymore. That is fruit bearing. You used to complain, but now all of a sudden you're like, you know what, that used to be me, but I'm not going to do that. You used to watch those certain things, but all of a sudden you don't watch anymore. Not because you're legalistic, it's because you're changing. Bearing fruit means you actually start looking like Jesus. That is my prayer. Look at Acts chapter 4. I want you to look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This is my prayer, church. When you abide in Christ and his words abide in you, you will begin to start thinking like the Lord, talking like the Lord. And watch this. Many people will look at you without ever seeing the gospel and saying, I see Jesus in that person. When Jesus said, this is how you be my disciple when you bear much fruit, is that when people see you, you remind them of the Lord. Now look at this. Look at Acts chapter 4. So just a little history here. That Peter and the apostles, they were before the Sanhedrin, the rulers of Jerusalem and Israel. And they were going before this court system to try to tell them, hey, listen, we're not going to back down from talking about Jesus. And now, you have to understand that these people were untrained. These disciples, they didn't go to seminary school. They were just with Jesus. Now, watch. Watch what fruit-bearing, what abiding does when it comes to you looking like Jesus. It says this. Now, when they, the Sanhedrin, saw the boldness of Peter and John. Oh, I love this. And they perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. They marveled. Are you ready? And they realized. They must have been with Jesus. They realized. realize, wait a minute, you guys are acting like the one we crucified. You're talking like him. You're walking like him. You even pray like him. You even have authority like him. You even cast out demons like him. You even are fearless like him. You even are bold like him. That is the goal of abiding, because it will bear fruit to maturity. Listen, how would you like, I know this sounds funny, one day Carlos or I come with Pampers on us, or a 25-year-old come preaching with diapers on? You'd be like, that's unusual, right? You'd be like, oh, you know what, that's just too much. I'm not going to this church again. That's just horrific. In the spiritual realm, that's how God is seeing some of us. He loves us, but he does not want us to stay with the little lack of fruit in our lives, and we're always continually yielding to the same pattern of habits and sin and outbursts of wrath. It got quiet up in here. And so the first half of fruit bearing is abiding. Say abiding. And you know, the consequences of not abiding is actually found in verse 6 of John. Now, you can look at that from an eschatological standpoint. That's just a nice big word. I like saying it because it makes me look good. But eschatological only means end times. Studies of the end times. Now watch. You can look at this verse 6 as an end times passage, which says this. Look at verse 6 of John chapter 15. It says, if anyone does not abide, so here's the consequences of not abiding. Are you ready? You'll be cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So obviously, there is an end-time connotation to that. There is an end-time reality to that, eternal reality to that. But I also feel that there is a now reality to that. Number one, if you're not abiding, you know what will happen? You will be cast out. You know what that is symbolic of? You will lose fellowship. There's no place worse as a Christian than to lose the fellowship of God. You know one thing I realize about backsliders? You don't have to convince them that they're backsliding. You know you're backsliding, right? I know. And deep down inside, they're miserable because they've lost the fellowship. It is impossible to one time, taste and see that the Lord is good, of the presence of the Lord, and go out in the world and claim that you're really happy. You may outside say that you're happy, but you cannot truly inwardly ever say that you're fulfilled. So the now reality of the consequence of not abiding is that you're cut off. Not cut off from the Lord, is you're cut off from fellowship. And the Bible says a principle in Psalm 92. It says, he who is planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Flourish in the courts of their God. When you are connected and planted to the vine, you will flourish. You will flourish not only in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in your Christian life. You will flourish with fruit. You will flourish with the fact that I love what Enrique is doing. The Lord is actually challenging him to bear more fruit in this area. Do you dare to believe? He told me he was reading the book of Acts. He goes, this is the kingdom. When we read the book of Acts, we should be doing this. And so God is challenging him to bear fruit in this area of healing. Can I hear an amen? And then he says, and you will be withered. Withered is dried up, wilderness, frustration season. We all go through that, by the way. So not all the time that we're going through a wilderness season doesn't mean anything. But it says, you will be withered and you burn. You'll lose your reward. So I want to share something with you because the abiding is the first half of fruit bearing. But then Jesus says something really interesting. I want you to hear me now for the next 15 minutes. He says something. Let's go back to John 15. He says something that to me in the natural does not make sense in the natural. But if you're a gardener, is anybody a gardener here? Like you know a little bit about gardening. You know about planting. You know about. All right. He actually says, in verse 2, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now listen to this, guys. This is good news. Everybody say good news. Look at me for a second. Who wants to bear fruit? Who wants to bear fruit? Well, here is the goal. The pruning process is not the bad process for bad people. That's not, we've limited pruning to, I'm in a wilderness. Oh, I'm so bad right now. I'm in a pruning season. I'm so horrible. No, look at what verse 2 says. He goes, every branch that bears fruit. So you want to bear fruit? Get ready for the pruning. It's just a process. It's not for bad people. It's if you bear fruit, here's the good news. You're going to be pruned, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to cut your flesh, and it's going to be a little painful. But the whole goal of it is because you are bearing fruit. I don't want you to stay that way. I want you to bear more fruit. I want you to bear more fruit. I could tell that I am different now than I was 5 years ago. Because through pain, believe me, through pain and frustration, I don't react the same way I used to because I'm mature. But it took painful instances and people leaving me and people saying things about me to get to a place of meekness and humility. But without that painful cutting, without that painful highlight, see, the Lord highlights things, and you're like, oh, I don't like this, and you're squirming. And sometimes, God forbid, he'll use people to highlight things to you. But we won't go there because most of the time that God says things is through his spirit, through his word, or through people. Stop rejecting the instrument that God is trying to bring to you. Now, I understand there's a balance. There's people that are critical and they complain and they're always trying to see flaws in you. But no, but most of us got saved because somebody came to us and spoke the word of God. Most of us in here did not get saved because an angel showed up on our door and goes, Jesus, must turn now. Yeah. God used somebody. So So if you love the Lord, hear me now, and if you want to grow, stop rejecting the pruning process. It's part of your identification as a child of God. Oh, I don't like this pruning process. Then you don't want to grow. Then you're not wanting to bear fruit. Because he says those who bear fruit, he prunes. And you know what Jesus is, guys? Jesus is the great fruit inspector. He is. He actually comes because he's in need at times for an arm or a leg to shoot out in his body. But because we're so unattached to the vine, or detached, we're not productive. And God does not just say, okay, you're not bringing fruit, that's good. You know what the Bible says? He actually came to a fig tree because he was hungry. Searching for fruit. He was searching for fruit in the fig tree when he came to the fig tree in Mark chapter 11, I believe it is. Mark chapter 11. He came to a fig tree and the Bible, now listen, you have to hear this. He came and he was searching fruit and the Bible says he was hungry. Jesus is hungry to see his hands and knees and arms and legs stretched out to see salvation, to see the prayer movement go forth. But he needs people to mobilize it. So he was looking, he was hungry, and he was looking for fruit. And the Bible says when he came to this fruit, thinking that there was fruit on it, he lifted up the leaves and he found no fruit. Now, what was the reaction of Jesus when he found no fruit? Oh, so good. I understand. Times are tough. It's okay. Give me some water. It's okay. He goes, let there not be fruit ever grown from you again. And he cursed the fig tree. I understand there's a lot of symbolism of the next verse when he cleansed the temple and he was speaking to Israel. I understand that. But I also see through the eyes of revelation that God is searching for fruit in his people. And sometimes when he gets to us, he finds no fruit. Now, here's the thing that trips me out about that story. Because that story in one of them says, for it was not the season of fruits. So why would he get mad? Why would he get upset if the Bible says there was no fruit, for there was not the season of fruit bearing? I'll tell you why, I believe. Look at 2 Timothy. Oh, glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is why we need to be ready. This is why we need to bear fruit. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Because Jesus doesn't want us to only bear fruit in the good times. When there's intense persecution coming on the land, there's an incredible need to bear fruit in that hour. Look at what 2 Timothy, guys. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus who will judge the living and the dead and appearing of his kingdom. Are you ready? Keep going. Preach the word. Are you ready? Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready in season. Things are going good. And also when things are not going so good, be ready. Bear fruit. If the church collapses when the economy collapses, where's the light of God in the earth? Somebody has to stand strong during difficult times. But it's through the abiding and the pruning that we bear fruit. And the fruit is not just for us, it's for other people. And he says this, be ready in season, out of season. Listen to me, church. Why do we need to be ready in season, out of season? Jesus rebuked the fig tree because it wasn't bearing fruit and it wasn't the season. Why do we need to bear fruit out of season and be ready? Conviction, rebuke. Why? Because of the next verse. Look at the next verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will have itching ears that will heap up from themselves teachers. Keep going to verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, fairy tales. Church, this is why we need to wake up. This is why we need to start bearing fruit, because when it comes down, sometimes if we're not ready by that time, we're not going to be ready to do a crash course in fruit bearing when that time comes. We've got to be strong now. We've got to bear fruit now, because there are times the Bible says that they, the church, will not endure sound doctrine. They'll have itching ears. You already see now people convincing themselves to have homosexual churches and say, hey, that's just the way that I was brought up and I love the Lord. And now it's considered a hate crime in some states to speak against some of the immoralities of the Bible. They could put you to jail. So Jesus said, we've got to get to the pruning part. So the pruning part, we can have the worship team up here, please. The pruning part is not for the bad people. It's if you bear fruit. Now, I want you to see something in the pruning. I'm going to share four reasons why we go through a pruning. And it's going to help you. Believe me, it helped me. It's a painful wilderness, sometimes frustration process. But in the process, he is building meekness, humility, and character. I've never seen anybody come out of a pruning process come out prideful. That means they didn't yield to the whole process. Go ahead and do it again. Walk around that wilderness again until you get it right. When you get out or through a pruning process, you won't fight like you used to fight. I'm not talking about fight for the Lord. You won't fight the flesh like you. You won't be like, I have this. He's like, let it go. When there's an offense that happens to you between you and a brother or a sister, before you used to get all swole. That's a cool youth name. Swole means like you get all, you know, bad and you want to take your case and you want to prove your point. When you go through the pruning process, you know what's happening? Let it go. Forgive. It will produce humility, but let me tell you, it's a season of frustration. Watch, this is key what I'm going to tell you. It's a season of frustration and dryness, and if you misinterpret that season, you'll get offended. If you misinterpret that season, what happens is you're going to think that God abandoned you, and you're going to think that God is no longer with you, and you're saying, well, I must not be that important to God because no longer do I feel the presence of God every time I say Jesus. Because God is trying to get you to grow up. When you were little, your mom cut the steak for you. They cut it, and all you had to do was eat. Well, that's good. But when you got 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, like my kid is doing, he every time we go to a restaurant, Dad, I got this. I'm like, no, I can cut. He goes, no, I got this now. And he's all doing it weird, and I'm trying to teach him. He goes, no, I got it. And he's desiring to cut his own food. Why? Because it's a sign of maturity. If you misinterpret the season of pruning, you will blame God. Come on now. I've been faithful. I've been giving. I've been planted, and still nothing. You're getting pruned to be more like Jesus. You're getting pruned to bear fruit of humility and righteousness and holiness. And instead of complaining, you're rejoicing God. Job said, though he slay me, I will yet praise him. Though he slay me, I will yet praise him? That doesn't make sense. Because the whole time, if you talk to a gardener, just play something small there with the background. A gardener knows exactly where to cut. Listen to me. I'm going to share something that's going to help you. And if the gardener it knows where to cut deep and it hurts the plant, if the plant were speaking, it would be like, ow, what are you doing? Don't worry, you're going to thank me later. Oh, ow, Oh, why are you highlighting this weakness of mine? Oh. Because deep down inside, there's fruit that's about to bear forth. And if the gardener slips up and doesn't cut at the right places, it can actually wound the plant or the tree even further. So you have to know what you're doing to make the cuts at the right places. But this process is where God instills discipline and strength in your life. That's where He does it. If you have a horrible time in the first couple of years of your marriage, and all of a sudden, 5 years from now, you're more humble and you're meek and you're more understanding, you went through the pruning process. But guess what? Anybody that has gone through that, it hurts. It hurts to go through that. But God says, if you trust me, now watch, this is good. It doesn't hurt to your emotions. It hurts to your flesh. He's not wounding you to say, ha-ha, now you're going to know who's God and who is not. No, no, He's wounding your flesh because you're so tied into your flesh that it actually hurts you when He's making those cuts. What are the four reasons, I want you to write this down. This is going to help you. Four main reasons that pruners or gardeners prune. There's four main reasons. And those reasons physically are translated spiritually. Are you getting anything this morning? Some of you are sitting down and you're saying, I am hurting during this season. Well, the fact that you're here and not at home watching some game is because you want to grow. The fact that you're here is because deep down inside, God's not leaving you alone. And you're in the growing pains. A lot of times where my kid will go up and it used to concern me. Jonathan or Jaden would go, Dad, I feel a pain in my knee. And at first, you know, being the preacher I am, oh, you have a word of knowledge. So I'm getting healed from a knee problem. And he's like, no. I still have pain in my knee. So, you know, I'm thinking, what's going on, you know? All of a sudden, when we went to the doctor just looked at him. He goes, oh, you grew 2 inches since the last time you came. Those are growing pains. Your bones are growing. Glory to God. It's painful to grow because it's cutting back everything that is used to being you. It's cutting your habits, your patterns, the way that you think things should be done, your pride, your giftings. It's cutting that out, and no one likes that. No one likes their character to be cut, but the result is beautiful. That's why the prayer room is so important, because in the prayer room, you get to indulge into the presence of God, and God actually deals with your barren heart and starts doing surgery and starts cutting. And the man or the woman that used to be very abrasive all of a sudden becomes tender. Glory to God. It's the work of pruning. Now, there's four reasons why pruners prune or gardeners prune. I want you to write this down. Number one, to remove dead or dying fruit. In other words, there's some of us that have fruit, but it's dead. We need to progress. We have some things that we parked in our revelation of 10 years ago. And like, you know, the Lord gave me a revelation 10 years ago. That's great. What is He giving to you now? I went on a mission trip 10 years ago and spoke to 1,000 people. But ever since, I haven't done anything. Are we satisfied with just not just in our assignment, but being in the same place spiritually? So the first thing that the gardener does is he cuts off dead or dying fruit. Now, you know what that means in the spiritual? This is going to hurt because he's going. When you're in the pruning process, what will start to happening 9 times out of 10 is old friends and old habits will start be cutting off by the Lord. Now remember, all this is contingent on your yes. He's never going to force the pruning process. I'm just going to say that right now. He's never going to say, you better get down. Angels, go ahead and hold them down. I'm going to cut. Come on. He doesn't want it, but I want him to do it. No. You know what the key is? John 3:30. I must decrease, He must increase. That's the solution for pruning. Stop fighting. It's going to get worse. Just lay down. More of you equals less of God. Less of you equals more of God. Amen? And that's really the whole process of pruning, to be just real blunt with you, is to get you to have less of you and more of Him. It's cutting that little attitude, cutting that little lying tongue, cutting that abrasive, aggressive personality that wounds people. And all of a sudden, listen, you look at Paul the Apostle. My goodness. Paul the Apostle was killing people. He was arrogant. He was full of pride. Through the series of prunings called beatings, physically, he became a tender, humble man. But it was through the process. Everybody see the process. We like the destination, but we don't like the process, do we? I want that, Lord. I want that. God says, if you want that, you have to go through the process. You just don't fast forward to the destination and cut off the pruning process. It's not going to happen. Say amen. So those are old friendships, old relationships. And when you allow God to prune the old activity in you, you find yourself not enjoying what you used to enjoy. You'll wake up one morning. It's not going to be this grand experience. It's not going to be like, la da 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 da, I could show you the world. Oh! Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're like free. No, all of a sudden you'll wake up one morning after the pruning process and you say, you know what? I don't want to watch that show anymore. I know. It's not really that bad, but I don't know. God is doing something with me. Oh, you know what? You know what, guys? I know this, you know, we say this fun, but you know, I just don't want to use those words anymore. You'll stop cursing. Oh, come on. You're not going to go to hell if you're cursing. You know, somebody told me years ago, Pastor George, we're not going to go to hell if you don't pray every day and you don't worship the Word and you don't read the Word every day. I go, you're right. But you'll be a very defeated and weak Christian. If you don't grow in the things of God, if you don't spend time with the Lord and read His Word, you're going to be a weak, defeated Christian. How can you overcome the darts of lust if you haven't read the Word in a month? Preach the gospel. So here is, that's the first reason. You know the second reason for pruning? Oh, this is so good. I'm trying to hold myself in. The second reason pruners prune is to expose fruit to the sun. The reason they cut around, because what happens is as the tree grows, it develops thick branches and thick leaves that actually cover the fruit from being exposed to the sun, to the sun. But the same way is with us. When we get offended, we build walls. Thick walls around our heart and thick walls around our mind so that the sun, Son of God, won't be able to hit that fruit that's in your heart. And so when we get offended, when we get lonely, when we fall, when we don't agree with somebody, what happens is the branches of our heart cover the fruit that's already there. And God goes, listen, even though you're hurt, even though you're offended, I've got to make some cuts here for one reason, to expose the fruit to the Son of God. To expose that, maybe you have a couple fruits of righteousness. I want to make it grow. But it has to look to the Son. What you and I's goal is, we must, pruning, you know what pruning does, guys? Makes us seek the face of God once again. Have you ever been in a pruning process? Huh? You have two things that happen in a pruning process. You either run away from God or run to God. And when you have nothing else, when I was in the hospital room, when I had those episodes at night, I felt like saying, you know what? I've been worshiping the Lord. Why is this happening to me? But I became vulnerable. God doesn't want independence. He wants dependence. When Jacob was wrestling with the angel, he wasn't like, I got this. His hip got broken and he had to hang on to the angel. So that means everywhere the angel went, he went with him too. In other words, it's a co-laboring process. He'll break you so he can bring fruit in you. He'll break the branches so that your fruit, watch this, could exposed to the sun. And I'm going to share this last thing, and this is going to help you, especially if you've been in a pruning process like me. The third reason that gardeners are pruned, the first is to remove dead and dying fruit. The second, to expose fruit to the sun. Third is to increase the size and the quality of the fruit. Listen, there's sometimes that the process of pruning, watch this, can seem so unbearable, and it seems like, God, why are you allowing this? Did you abandon me? And if you're not careful, you misconstrued the painful process that He's abandoning you. And the question is, how do I know that this is a pruning process and it's not some sort of test or some sort of punishment? How do I know? Why is this happening to me? Why am I getting through this wilderness? It's because God is trying to bring greater fruit. And I remember years ago, I said this story years ago to Remnant. You can listen, this is going to encourage you. Years ago, I read a story of a blacksmith who was making metal. He was making metal and he was making swords, and he would put these pieces of metal in this hot lava. And in this hot lava, if you would hold the metal in that hot lava for just 1 minute longer. Sometimes we feel like we're in that hot lava, don't we? If you're in that hot lava, that piece of metal is in that hot lava for just 1 minute more than what it's supposed to be, because the flames are so hot, it could actually ruin the metal that he's trying to make as a weapon. So this little boy came to him, and he explained to him, he said, hey, listen, what I do is I place these metals in these hot lava, and at just the right time, I pull it out so that it could be an instrument in your hands and in people's hands. And the little boy goes, how do you know what time to take it out? He says, does everyone have the same time? He goes, no, some instruments take a lot more to burn. Some instruments take little to burn. That's just like us, isn't it? There's some that we're just prideful like Jonah. Nope, we're not going to change, And some's like, yes, from the beginning, and the fire's not as intense. But then the blacksmith goes, some are longer than others. And the boy said this. I love this. He said, then, sir, how do you know when it's time to take it out of the fire? And he goes, that's easy. When I see my reflection in the metal. When I see my reflection, it's time to take it out of the fire, because now I know the impurities are gone and I know the shape that I want, and I can see my reflection and I can take it out just before it melts. And the way that the Lord deals with us is we think, oh, this is unbearable. This is unbearable, the things that I'm yielding to. But he's doing that until he sees his reflection in the process of pruning. So as he sees the reflection, his reflection, we become more like Christ. Isn't that the goal? We become more like Christ, and we become less of us. This is the reason for pruning, to bear fruit in abiding and in pruning. And the fourth reason is to bear fruit, new fruit that has never existed before. That's the reason why the gardeners prune. There's fruit in us that have yet to be developed. And I believe through this pruning process, you will develop a sense of, to some of you is meekness, to some of you is dedication in the word of the Lord, to some of you is restoration in your marriage, to some of you is restoration with your children, to some of you is a straight up Saul of Tarsus experience where you come and the blinders come off, you say, I need God. It's time for us to start bearing fruit. How many believe that? There's two types of people in here. There's bearing fruit because of abiding, and there's bearing fruit because of pruning. The question is, are you abiding and are you fighting the process? Years ago, the Lord told me, stop saying no to what I'm saying yes to. No, yes. No scissors. Give me the machete. No. But I look back and I thank God. Because in John 15, verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified. Hear me now. That you bear much fruit. There's actually four categories of fruit bearing, which I'm not going to even go to. There's no fruit, there's fruit, there's some fruit, and then there's much fruit. He actually says it all. He says four categories. No fruit, fruit, some fruit, and much fruit. Or more fruit and much fruit. Today, I believe that camera is coming on us again like he did in my dream. And he's spotting the light on our lack of fruit bearing and saying, will you yield to my process? Will you yield to the process so we can bear fruit? How many believe that with me today? Come on, stand to your feet, every one of us. Stand to your feet and let's just lift up the Lord. Come on, let's just worship the Lord. We love you, Lord. Come on, just ask the Lord to bear fruit in this season. Whether it's to get you plugged in back into abiding or to not fight the pruning process. How many are being pruned this in this season? I know I am. So some of you, you're not being pruned, but some of you, God is saying, I want you to abide again. I want you to abide to bear fruit. You've lost your passion for the word. You've lost your passion for abiding for the presence of God. And I desire you to be with me again. Come on, lift up your hands before the Lord right now. Jesus, you're beautiful. Come on, let's lift up our hands before the Lord right now. We desire to bear fruit. We welcome the pruning process, God. Jesus.
Jesus, you're beautiful.
He's after our hearts. He wants you to bear fruit. That's why He's pruning some of you. Just surrender. Just yield. It may be painful. Come on, lift up your hands right now. Just for the next 5 minutes. Then we're going to pray and dismiss. I want fruit in my life. Don't let your years of serving the Lord stop you from receiving this morning. Cut out the pride of what you know. Jesus, you're beautiful, God.
Jesus, you're beautiful.
I know your eyes are flames of fire.
I'm
going to sing it today. We love you, Jesus.
Your voice sounds like one. Jesus, you're beautiful. And I know your eyes are like flames of fire. Your head is white as gold.
For a second, if you feel you're in a season that this is messages for you, the Lord is highlighting the fruit bearing. To some of you is to get back to abiding, but to some of you is to have grace during the pruning season. The Lord said, don't fight the pruning anymore. I desire to bear more fruit to those who are bearing fruit, and the reason He cuts it is so you could be exposed to the sun. If you are saying, this season, the reason why I got set free, the reason why is to produce fruit. And the Lord is challenging you personally to bear more fruit in a certain area of your life, whether it's through pruning or through abiding. Step up front right now. I know there's many of you. Come on, get out of your chairs. Get out of your chairs right now. In this season, release the grace of the Lord to bear fruit in your life. Right now, come on. Lift up your hands all over. I need the intercessors. Enrique, if you can help me with some of the intercessors, please. I want the leaders and the pastoral team. I need people to help pray, please. Right now. Come on, lift up your hands. It's just you and the Lord. You and the Lord. Ask God to continue with the fruit bearing. Come on. Yeah.
There is no one like you in the
Release healing, Lord. Release fruit in this hour.
There is no one like you in the heavens, Lord.
surrender, Lord, this season of fruit bearing. We surrender to be Christ-like in this season. We repent for the lack of fruit. We repent for our posture. Cut us, Lord. Release grace and strength. To examine your heart, examine your marriages. Is there fruit? Examine your ministry. Is there fruit? Examine your speech. Is there fruit in your speech? It's okay. No one needs to lay hands on you. Just ask, say, the Lord, this is something that I need to work on. Surrender it, even though it hurts. He's bearing fruit. The Lord is healing and releasing things right now as we speak. Fruits of maturity, fruits of righteousness. Fruits of meekness. Oh, hallelujah. We surrender. We won't fight anymore the pruning process. We want to look like you. We want to talk like you. We want to live like you, Lord. While everyone's praying, listen, church is dismissed. You guys can leave. We love you. I'll see you at Sound the Alarm. I want to talk to the people here. If you're in the congregation and you don't know the Lord, we are having a system in place, so we want to give you opportunity to know the Lord. If you're here and you haven't totally surrendered to the Lord, or you're backslidden and you want to come home, I want you to lift up your hands, even as you're leaving. So let's just end it out right now with prayer. Father, we pray right now that you would cause fruit to remain in this season. That you will cause fruit, that our mouths will change. That our tongues will change. Lord, that our attitudes, we give it to you. We don't change it in ourselves. We change it in the abiding and in the yielding of the pruning. We say yes. Just say that with me. We say yes. We say yes to the abiding and the pruning, that we may bear fruit in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. There's still ministry here as the band plays, continues playing. We love you. We'll see you at Sound the Alarm. Don't forget the envelopes. Get some envelopes for this fundraiser. God bless you.